movie soundtrack album, an existential discussion on chasing your dreams. Sounds like the makings of a good episode to me. On this week's episode, Alex and I discuss the soundtrack for the new HBO movie, Judas and the Black Messiah. Spoiler alert, it's amazing. And on the second half of the show, we go into a pretty deep discussion on why chasing your dreams just might be overrated. So without further ado, episode 45 of The Transition. Welcome to The Transition, episode 45. Alex Kaprinsky, Dimitri Williams, in the studio once again. Oh yeah, it's episode 45, so I got to make the sound of a 45.
Dude, halfway to 90.
You know what I mean? Halfway to 90. God,
what you gonna do when we get to 50?
When I get to 50, I'm just gonna bring in a fully loaded gun for 50. Just shoot it off in my
50
just
caliber.
Let it off out my window. Exactly, a 50 cal. I'm just gonna let it off out my window. And deafen myself. I'll put on some protective headgear.
Yeah, something to look forward to in 5 weeks.
There you go. Stay tuned. But we are back. Here we are, back like we never left on a Friday evening. Man, I feel like we just did this like 3 days ago.
Bro, we were here 30 seconds ago.
Maybe it's me, but like, it's weird. I don't know. It's strange at least. But yeah, I think we have a pretty good episode for, oh my goodness, here comes Alex.
Trying to check out Nick's Instagram. Instagram comments.
I was going to say, that's one of the things I was going to dive into. Alex's brother, Nick, was talking real greasy in the Transition Pod comments last night. I don't know what he was on.
But bro, that was late, too. I was getting those notifications.
It was. I was like, Nick, what are you up at 11 o'clock trying to talk down on M for? Like, what is that about? About him, though, I respect that he put his whole list out there right in the comments. I was like, okay, like he came with it. He wasn't playing around.
What he threw out? Three Stacks, MF Doom, Pusha T, Kendrick Lamar, mm-hmm. Hove, Nas, Black Thought. He put Nas twice.
Oh, clown.
Never mind. This list invalidated.
Nick, you were almost goated until you weren't.
Yeah, Black Thought, Biggie, Ice Cube, and Snoop. I know you don't listen to Cube or Snoop Dogg.
Oh, are you calling out Nick on the pod right now?
Yeah.
You're saying he doesn't listen to Ice Cube or Snoop Dogg?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Oh, wow. Nick, bro, Nick's got to come on and defend himself. He got to defend this list.
We're friends on Apple Music, bro. I can see what he listens
to. I know your taste. What does he listen to? Tell me his Apple Music right now. So expose him on the podcast. All right,
we got, I'm looking here. We got Gravity with Brent Faiyaz, which I approve of.
Oh, okay.
He listened to the Slow Tie record, which I recommended, so I've enjoyed
all right,
fair
enough.
Taboo, Denzel Curry, another great
record.
Very
good album.
Keep going. EP2, which actually just came out last night. Shout out JPEG. JPEG Mafia released an EP. Okay. I think it's a collection of singles. I know he's released a couple
Sounds
of
like
tracks before.
Some stuff like that.
Yeah.
No Ice Cube, though.
I'm trying
to... We're doing an all-time list, so you know, fair enough to him.
I'm trying to... Here, let's get right on the profile here.
You're right in the profile.
But look at the. Okay, here we go. Okay. So he's been listening to Miguel.
Sus, great. But all right. Alex is like, I listen to Miguel.
I love Miguel. Yeah. Blank Face, Schoolboy Q.
Okay, there you go.
Veteran, JPEG Mafia, East Atlanta Love Letter.
There you go. He's like,
Black.
He's like 2-3 years back now.
Yeah, DiCaprio 2.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Purple Haze, Cameron.
Purple Haze, okay. No, Cameron was on the top 10, though.
A little Baby Keem.
Baby, oh my. He is a Baby Keem fan. I'm low-key a Baby Keem fan sometimes. Orange Soda,
yo,
all
he's
that
out
good
here
stuff.
Listening to Hooligan.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Bro, you're nasty if you go from MF Doom to Hooligan.
He did say MF Doom. I didn't see that one coming. MF Doom.
Rest in peace to Doom,
yeah,
by the way.
I was about to say RIP. He is, I'm still going to say it in present tense, a great artist. A lot of people don't really put him in a top 10 list, though. I was surprised to see that. Everything else, I was like, okay, like these are kind of traditionals, but.
At this T-Pain.
Oh, my God. What is that?
That's his playlist for T-Pain. That is T-Pain.
That is T-Pain. Okay.
That is T-Pain. Yeah. No.
Speaking of, and we'll get off Nick's case.
Completely off
track. Yeah, I was about to say completely off track. I was actually watching an interview with T.I. and Conway the Machine the other day. Really, really good. Really, really good interview.
I've heard T.I.'s out here getting canceled. I'm not sure if that's true or not.
T.I. is always kind of getting canceled, though. He's always kind of saying some bullshit. But,
yeah.
I mean, it was more Conway that I was saying I enjoyed, but it was on T.I.'s platform, which is his podcast. I think it's like Uninterrupted or some play on T.I.
nice.
It's something. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, Conway the Machine has a pretty interesting story. I remember he was talking about getting shot and all that type of stuff, and a lot of artists do. But he actually was almost killed, and it's left him like I think with like a facial damage and like all these other kind of lasting effects. And he's talking about his life of kind of, you know, clawing his way out of despair and deciding to become or continue being a rapper despite, you know, that adversity. I was like, wow, this makes me like him even more. So yeah, just a cool interview. You don't have to support T.I. to watch it, I don't think. Conway's just a pretty cool dude from what I saw. But yeah, now that we got the Knicks slander out of the way.
He's trash. Yo, he did get accepted into, I don't know if I can even say that. I think he got accepted into a grad school, by the way. So shout out Nick.
Shout out Nick for pursuing higher education, unlike his scumbag brother.
Yeah, I'm trash, dude. I have no idea where it is. I heard it through the grapevine, so I got to talk to
him. What do you mean the grapevine? As if he's like your third cousin. What do you mean?
I didn't hear it directly from the source.
Oh, my God. All right, we got to figure out where Nick's going to school. Hopefully, it's not SJU for the grad school. You got to switch it up.
Ugh.
Shout out Rick Ross. But, yeah, so how was your week, Alex? Aside from, you know, slandering your brother.
I'm going to retire, bro.
You think it's done?
I think we're hanging out the cleats.
You haven't even hit a year yet. You think about that? You haven't even hit a year yet. You haven't even hit half a year yet.
Yeah.
You got to slow down. You're going to burn yourself out.
I got this for the next 40 years of my life, dude. Got to persevere. But I'm tired. That's all I got. It was weird because it was a good week in that we got a lot of stuff done, which is good.
Like, everything, make it a good week?
Well, everything, yeah, because I'm not going to be freaking the F out early next week trying to figure out. Everything that needed to get done and got done, which I'm happy about. So there was,
pleased.
I like when weeks end in, like, resolution. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing, like,
nothing's hanging. Everything's exactly where it should be. Everything's in place. There's looming.
I'm going to have a three-day weekend where I'm not just going to be, like, panicking for what's going to happen. Yeah, shout out to President's Day. But it's not going to be Tuesday morning at, like, 9 o'clock, and I'm going to get a Skype message that says, you have to do X, Y, and Z by 3 o'clock.
We use Slack around here. What are you talking about? Skype. Use Skype?
Well, I use Slack outside of work, but at work, we use, like, I forget. It's like I use the terms interchangeably. Like, I'll
Slack
say
and Skype.
Yeah, like, I'll say I'm getting, I don't know, because I've grown up using Slack throughout college and stuff. So it's like whenever
I didn't use Slack until I got into the working world. Interestingly enough,
you know, Shenid had us using Slack, dude.
Oh, Shenid was on the Slack. Okay.
Technologically advanced. You think I'd get a hold of him to try and grade my articles?
Hey, Shenid, can you please? Oh, he deleted.
Nope,
me.
He gone.
He deleted the channel.
That happens a lot for me.
I was gonna say
it's cool.
Sounds about right. Alex was busy this week.
So we use Microsoft Outlook. That's what we've learned.
I was gonna say this is our worst podcast yet. We're talking about Microsoft Outlook, Skype, and
bro, I'm gonna be in
Nick's grad school
365 god by the time give me 5 years.
Office 365 god.
God.
Oh my gosh. Honestly though, Microsoft low key is like the business world. Like, every business uses Microsoft in some form or fashion.
Can
like
you
whether
imagine
using
if
Outlook,
Excel
Word,
didn't
Excel.
Exist?
Dude, Excel is like in like you literally can get a job just based around
dude,
Excel.
What
like
the hell
that's
did
just
these
your job.
Old heads do before like the internet. It's like,
right.
How did you work?
Write everything down. Write everything down forever. Like, I just imagine them like super old school, like Greco-Roman period on like stone slates, like carving, you know, complicated mathematics
dude,
equations.
These guys are like writing on the Ten Commandments trying to sell insurance.
Honestly,
like,
they were
how the hell do you do this? And doth if you, thou want property and casualty coverage.
Oh my god, that's insurance did originate way back in the day, didn't it? Back in like England, I want to say.
Yeah, little lesson. It was originally marine insurance, I believe, because I forget the exact year. I think it was in the 1800s, but it had to do with people wanted to insure cargo on vessels going back. Back and
forth. tell me more about these vessels. That's great. That is great. Anyway, so moving on.
How was your week?
Finally.
I'm just going to go jump off my roof real quick, but how was your week?
Man starts talking about marine vessels on the podcast.
You asked for the history of insurance, and I delivered.
I was kidding.
No, I delivered.
Alex is just like, well, let me pull out the textbook here I have handy.
Well, let me tell you.
If you want to know, you're going to be that old guy that's like someone just says one thing that just sets you into like a 45-minute conversation and they can't
escape. Completely off kilter.
No, hold on, young fella. Don't go anywhere just yet. Let me finish telling you this. I hate old people like that. Oh, my God. I love old people.
That's
going
to be me.
Yeah, I was going to say it for sure.
What'd you do this week? Enough of my garbage.
Enough of your vessels. My week was pretty good. Same old thing for the most part. We got some snow. We got to get rid of the snow.
I
think I'm done with cold weather. I think in the next few years I'm going to move somewhere.
You moving? You going south? Where are you going?
I think I'm going south. Maybe I'll go to Atlanta. Maybe I'll go to Dallas or something.
I thought you were looking at a house in the area. You thinking about going south now?
I was, but the house prices in the south though, Alex, come on now. You know how it is. Yeah, I can get probably a house two times the size for half the money.
Dude, the Carolinas I've heard are like pretty crazy.
Crazy. I'm about to pay $10 and live in a mansion.
Also, like Austin, I've heard really good things about. That might be too high.
I want to stay on the East Coast, though.
Okay, that's fair.
So I'm thinking ATL. Maybe ATL would be the move. That would be actually pretty cool. But yeah, I'm tired of the cold weather. Like it sucks. Why does anyone enjoy this? So we had some shoveling to do. Other than that, work and the usual thing. Very busy week though, but it was good. I can't complain too much. I'm definitely tired though. I completely second what you're saying.
You and me both.
I'm wiped out by Fridays every single time. But that's all right because now we can recoup and rejuvenate with the Transition Podcast. So, Alex, we have
what?
Some music what? We have some music to discuss. Oh, don't do it. We have some music to discuss. And it's actually the I'm not gonna pay attention. It's actually the soundtrack for a movie. A movie soundtrack is getting recognition on this podcast. That's a first, I believe. But this was, I dare say, one of the best movie soundtracks I've ever heard, ever. And we're talking about Judas and the Black Messiah. Ever. The movie just came out February 1st, I want to say. I think it premiered at like a film festival or something, and now it's in theaters. Not that anyone's going to theaters. And it's also on HBO. So watch it on HBO. Don't go to the theater and like.
Is it on HBO?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got HBO Max. I'm going to watch that tonight then.
Yeah, check that out. And quick synopsis of the movie for those who are interested, which you should be because it's a pretty good movie. I think it's based in 1968, Rise of the Black Panthers. Daniel Kaluuya actually plays Fred Hampton, which is really dope. And the story is that there's another black dude who is got caught by the CIA, got arrested for something. They're like, you're going to go away forever, going to go away for life, unless you help us quell this new rambunctious group of savages called the Black Panthers. Infiltrate the group, try to take it down from the inside. You'll be our man on the inside, and you'll be our informant, our mole, whatever. He struggles with his conscience, of course, being a black man in 1968, working with the white CIA to take down people who are trying to advance colors.
See, that would be difficult.
Yeah, you can see where the conscience might be a little bit pricked. So it's a really interesting concept, but the soundtrack was phenomenal. I mean, they got like every amazing artist I can think of to be on this, and even artists that I wouldn't even consider that they probably shouldn't be on this. Like, they don't have the lyrical gravitas, if you will, to be on this project. They put their big boy pants on and put out good verses. I started with Fight For You with Her. I thought that was a great song. Of course.
We love Her.
A great song. Exactly. I can't even reference Her because her name is a damn acronym. So it's like I don't know how to reference you. I'm sorry.
Great R&B.
Yeah, that was great R&B, even for me who hates R&B. Hit-Boy actually rapped on this project. When have you heard Hit-Boy rap before?
Never.
Never, exactly. Everybody knows Hit-Boy for production. Turns out he can spit too. Who would have thought?
Absolute legend.
Better than Pierre Bourne, I'll tell you that. So in terms of people who can put together production and rap, come on now. So we got Hit-Boy and Nas on a track together. That was fire. Black Thought. Need I say more? Need I say more? And in terms of albums and what this kind of reminded me of, this actually reminded me of a Black Thought album, the most recent one he did, Streams of Thought Volume 3, I want to say. The one that kind of have the two hands and all the lines kind of making a face.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that. I don't know, his overall voice and tone, like, I wish he was in the movie. Like, Black Thought looks like someone who should be in a movie like this. And just his overall demeanor, he's just awesome. I just love everything he brings to music. And so does Nick, because he put him on his top 10 list. What it feels like, Nipsey and Jay-Z. I feel like if we had to just say one song off of this that's like could blow up and be like a, you know, like the hit single, I think it would be this. You know, honestly, a Nipsey verse. I'm not sure when he wrote this, of course, because you know he's passed away for some time now, and this is a very new movie, obviously just coming out in February. But the verse fit, the hook fit, and Jay-Z. We got a Jay-Z verse. We got a Jay-Z verse on a movie soundtrack. You're lucky to get a Jay-Z verse on a regular album, let alone a movie soundtrack. So I feel like this was more of almost like a passion project, considering the content of the movie and him wanting to be involved. But it was dope. Hit-Boy with Broad Day, another great Hit-Boy verse, or song, I should say. Smino and Saab on one track.
Legendary.
Come on. Like, it's a really good project. I don't know what else to say. How do you feel about Smino, by the way? I know we were talking about this before, but do you want to give your Smino take real quick? Because I think he's criminally underrated.
Criminally underrated. Yeah. I mean, it's like retweet, right?
Yeah.
Two, I think, I want to say two full-length projects at this point that mm-hmm. are both really good.
And really not known.
Super, yeah, very like underground.
Is Smino Dreamville?
Still. No, I want to say he's probably like affiliated with a lot of the people that are within Dreamville. So like him,
but
and
he's
Jid.
Not like signed to any. That's kind of that's kind of wild.
It'd be really cool if he was. Like he kind of fits within their like orb. So
oh yeah, for sure. I think him and Kaz on the track would be pretty legendary. Just saying.
Just throwing that out there.
We got Masego, JID, and Rhapsody on the track. I mean, just some of these collaborations. I didn't think I was gonna get Masego and JID on something, let alone Rhapsody on there as well. I mean, this was a treat, honestly, for something I didn't know was coming out until Alex told me yesterday. This was a treat. White Dave and Hit-Boy, another great song. G Herbo, I thought that was a great song. That he
do you
put
like?
Out
can we pause
black.
There?
And I don't really like G Herbo.
That's
that
exactly
much.
What I was just gonna ask you. I feel like he's kind of trash. Like, in general, I don't know. Do you like him or no?
Thoughts on G Herbo. Typically, I love his voice. I will say that. I love his voice.
I'm going to go the opposite end of that.
Oh, you don't like
his
voice.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if you don't like his voice, I don't really see you. There's not really many redeeming qualities about his music.
No.
I think he put in a great verse this time around. I think the production was also really good for him. But I'm typically not a G Herbo fan whatsoever. So that's what I'm saying. A lot of these artists I'm not, you know, the biggest fan of. A lot of them I am, though, at the same time. Like A$AP Rocky, I used to be a big A$AP Rocky fan, not much anymore. G Herbo, Polo G, you know, it's not real. Lil Durk, not really people who are in kind of my top 10, top 15, top 20 artists right now. But
did you like the Rocky track?
What'd you say?
Did you like the Rocky track?
I thought it was kind of trash, to be honest.
I thought he kind of phoned it in a little bit.
For sure. I mean, the rhyme scheme I didn't like. The production was good. I just didn't like what he did on it. And just the content was very, I don't know. It was very A$AP Rocky. It was very kind of like, I'm just going to write something I know is going to be okay, and I'm not going to put in any extra work. I feel like A$AP Rocky is very uninspiring when it comes to music nowadays. Comparing to you know, at long last ASAP, long live ASAP, I think it was the EP or the mixtape he came out with before
the
that.
The American flag looking.
Yeah,
one.
The American flag one. I can't remember exactly what it was called. I mean, I think that's one of the best projects I've heard in the past 20 years. Like, I love that project.
Did
compared
we not
to what he
like
does
testing?
Now, testing. was okay.
I feel like I like testing.
I remember you saying it, and I remember giving you the same look. Cause
yeah, I'm pretty sure you looked at me the same way.
I don't know. Testing just wasn't that great for me. I compare it to his old stuff, and I hate to be one of those individuals. Oh, well, his old stuff was so much better. But honestly, it was. And to anything he's done in like the past 8 years, I'm just eh.
He owes us an album, I think, at this point.
I'd be surprised if we even get it. He's not really interested in music like that anymore, I don't think so either. He's into fashion, all this other stuff, which is fair enough. But yeah, great album is mainly the takeaway I want for this one. I think there wasn't necessarily, you know, like an overarching story. It's, you know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of The Balancing Act somewhat, where it's just really good music. Just 12, 15 songs of really, really good music. And obviously it has the, you know, kind of the substantive similarities of the movie of, you know, Black power and uplifting and our place in the world right now, especially with everything that's happened over the past year. How could you not, with a movie like this, kind of put together a project where a lot of artists were going to come and speak their mind and how they were feeling? And it almost felt like a venting session in some cases, which was really cool. I love the Dom Kennedy song as well. I'm actually a pretty big Dom Kennedy fan from way back in the day.
Yeah. Dom Kennedy. He might be the one. I'm actually a little disappointed Cole and Kendrick didn't make their way on this album.
Yeah. That's actually a really good point. I didn't even think about that. But Kendrick especially, considering he did the Black Panther, I'm surprised he didn't make an appearance. Bro, yeah, Jay-Z, but not Kendrick?
After Snow on the Bluff, I think I need a Cole another Cole verse. And I think this would have probably been a good project to
it would have been
explain
perfect.
Yourself on.
Right? You could have just put them both on the same track too. I mean, you have some pretty interesting mixes on this track. So that would have been right up there with Nipsey and Jay-Z for me in terms of an amazing mixture of artists. But yeah, it's just a great album to enjoy, to listen to. I recommend going to watch the movie. I think I'm going to as well. Alex is going to watch it tonight on his HBO.
Movie review next Friday.
Right, exactly. Great way to head into the weekend. Great, great project. Do you ever? I remember you were telling me about this other project. Do you want to touch on that real quick?
What am I talking about? Slow Tie. Well, I want to talk about Lucky Day first.
All right.
He released a what am I looking at here? 7-track EP. Yeah, 23 minutes. Very, very tight. Great EP.
Pause.
Yeah, I gotta settle down a little bit.
You gotta
gotta relax. Love.
Five or 10 o'clock yet.
Dude, it's late, bro. Love Lucky Day. Really good features too. A lot of
never listened to anything.
I don't think there was one Ari was on this album.
Oh, you sold me already.
Yeah, no, it was a really good. It was a
Ari
really
Lennox
good,
should have been on that Judas and the Black Messiah. Too,
she was right. She was on the Jid track.
She was not. That was Rhapsody.
No, she was on. Hold up. Let me fact check myself here.
Oh, look at him. Look God, at him just I jumping am. To conclusions. No, she wasn't.
No, yeah, I'm wrong. I thought she did a hook somewhere on this album.
You might be thinking about her.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, never mind. Well, I'm walking that take back.
No, just like that. Our first walk back of episode 45, just like that.
I was positive she did a hook on this project, too. Well,
it just feels like she should be there, that's why.
Yeah. Better luck next time, Alex.
Better luck
looks
next
like
time.
Wolf.
Anyway, what you were saying about Lucky Day, about the thing that she was actually on.
Thank you. Really enjoyed the Lucky Day album. I recommend.
What's it called?
It is called Table for Two. Yeah, great, great contemporary R&B album. He's one of the, I don't want to say one of the few because there's a bunch of them, but one of the very unique kind of more true R&B type artists, Ushery type artist. And then I wanted to touch on Slow Tie, I think, briefly. I only got to listen to a few tracks, probably two or three off this thing so far. Came out last night. Amazing from what I've got to hear so far. Really interesting production. He's actually got a song with Rocky on there too that I think you'd like. He delivered a good verse. Weird production, which fits because they're both weird dudes. They rap about weird stuff.
Very strange. Very strange individuals.
Yeah, both just odd people. So they actually fit well, I think, on tracks
but
together.
Two weirdos on a track is like two negatives. It makes a positive.
Yeah, no, there was a track with Skepta on here, which was great. Denzel
I
Curry.
I saw that, and I was just yeah. thinking, okay.
Denzel this, Curry this and Dominic Fike made their way on this album, as well as James Blake, which
wow.
was
okay.
really interesting. Yeah, it was a great project. Not too long either, 35 minutes. So I feel like it's right in both of our wheelhouses as far as...
Got to keep it quick.
As far as album length goes.
I've been listening to a lot of, not necessarily underground recently, but lesser known artists. I've been enjoying it, honestly.
Who are we talking about?
I'm talking about, well, I sent you one, who's the artist's name? D Savage, I think his name was, which is, I've never yes. heard of him to that point. And I was actually listening, I'm like, this is not bad, you know, for an artist that I think is relatively unknown. And it's funny enough, I found it from listening to Since 99, a very unknown artist. And you kind of get the recommendations. I'm going along, I'm like, okay. This isn't too bad. I'm in the mood to listen to something a little bit more obscure, I think. I'm going to check that out. So, Slow Tie, you said?
Slow Tie, yeah.
Makes me think of Mai Tai every time. But.
Once the pandemic's over, mm-hmm. y'all listening, take yourself to Applebee's and get yourself some Mai Tais.
Oh, my goodness.
For a dollar.
And then listen to Mai Tais as you're eating them.
And then, yeah, listen to Slow Tie, drink at Mai Tais. It's like a great combination.
And then put
combination.
On Ty Dolla Sign afterward.
Put on Ty Dolla Sign. And then, yeah, exactly. And then listen to Mai Tai. Go drink a
the
Mai
song,
Tai. Listen,
yeah.
Listen to the album Mai Tai. Yeah, and then listen to Slow Tie. It all makes sense.
It's all Tai.
You just Tai.
It's all Tai. There you go. All
right, we're moving on.
Oh goodness. Oh, am I gonna get canceled for that? Is that the end of me?
No, I don't think you're getting canceled.
Okay, good. Nice, nice.
I don't think you're getting canceled.
Alex cancels me as soon as he says that. Just logs off the broadcast. Wait, Alex? Alex?
I'm not talking anymore. it's one of my great fears in life, bro.
Getting canceled?
Yeah, one of my great
fears. Why does that bother you so much? You're not like a public figure that like you have like millions of people, you know, watching you.
I don't know. It just is like, I don't know. I don't know why.
I feel like regular people don't get canceled as long as you don't do anything that kind of makes the social media news.
Yeah, I think so too. But I don't know.
You're good.
It's just like, I hope so. We're going to find out.
Alex, like I don't know, ties his left shoe before the right. Everybody's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa! I can't associate with this
slow
guy.
Down.
I'm sorry, slow down, buddy. But that's hilarious. But that's
just
more or
trying
less the,
to be just trying to be open and honest on the podcast, and you made fun of me. It's
trying
fine.
To keep it. I mean, hey, you know, that's
fine.
What we do here. You're just keeping it very neutral. I respect that.
Yeah, just tried to share my soul, and you just shut me down.
This is something that's actually eating away at you. Like you're laying up in bed at night, like, man, I just really hope I don't get canceled tomorrow. Alex is sweating in his bed.
No, I don't think it's that bad.
Okay, good. So that's more or less the music segment of this podcast, and Alex, the armchair psychologist section for me and Alex. But we have a pretty interesting social relevance topic that I want to run by you all. And
what
Alex,
are we talking
of course,
about?
How people react to success and how passions are or are not overrated. Alex just sat
buckle
up in his chair.
Buckle your seatbelts.
Buckle your seats, because we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and Alex has a very doom and gloom point to get across to you all. So which one of those two topics do you want to do first? Passions are overrated. Or how people react to success.
You want to start with success?
I think so. And I'll
frame
I'll,
it.
I'll take this one because I brought this up, and what made me think of it was when I saw this meme, funny enough, on Instagram, and it was discussing how it's interesting how individuals that, you know, find themselves getting a little success, nothing too crazy, they're not turning into, you know, the next pop star or anything. But, you know, they get a good job, they, you know, mm-hmm. maybe move out on their own, get a new car, they're in a good position in life, while others, especially now when it feels so many people aren't doing well, you know, residual effects of the pandemic, you know, bad economy, coronavirus itself of putting people out of work and in hospitals. You know, in a situation like now where so many people aren't doing well and some people find themselves in positions of power and positions of greater standing than some of their peers, how they turn or how their opinions change or how their personalities change. And you hear celebrities and rap artists especially talking about this so much of, you know, I never changed. It's just you guys want to be the same. You want me to say the same, and I can't do that. I got to be a better version of me, and all this, you know, kind of self-righteous stuff, which is fair sometimes. But I think on a lower level of people who, you know, aren't necessarily famous, they're just doing well by the standards of an average person. How quick they are to go on the high horse, right? And I think it's funny to see, especially you know, classmates or people I know or people I graduated with taking this approach to life and taking this approach to other people. But at the end of the day, you're not really any better than anyone else. It's just, you know, situational advantages and luck a lot of the time. And that's, I think, the main thing we got out of when we were discussing this yesterday, of how lucky some people are compared to others and how unlucky some people are. And the example I had given was saying, let's say Alex and I went to the same high school. Let's say we went to Alex's all boys Catholic high school.
Dope.
Yeah, not dope at all. You know, we're basically on the same track, getting the same grades. And then for whatever reason, Alex decides to go to college and, you know, become an investment banker. And, you know, his career just ends up going well for him. He comes out of school, he gets a job, he just goes right up the ladder and he's there. He's doing the thing. But me, I decided to pursue my own business right out of high school, and it didn't work out for me. And instead, I'm just working some average job with no degree and just barely making ends meet. You know, is Alex necessarily any better than me, or is it warranted for him to look down on me because of the path I chose in life? You know, and I think that's a question that more people should ask themselves when they judge people of, oh, you didn't work hard enough. You didn't want to be successful like me. You know, like you should follow my example. I don't know. It's just very hypocritical, and it's just very self-righteous to see I guess it is human nature of just give a man that's the typical saying, but give an individual a little bit of power and you see their true colors, right? You know, what do you think about that idea? Do you see that being true in your own friend group or in society in general?
I think it's definitely true in society. What I would say though is I think success is predicated on a lot of luck, right? And a lot of good association and a lot of you're born into the right
good
situation.
Judgment as well.
Yeah, but sometimes. I also think, yeah, you can also put yourself in position, right? Which I think is also equally as important, because you can, I think, choose to put yourself in a position where you're more likely to succeed. And I think life is all about probability more than anything else. A lot of it's probability. And the more you can kind of put yourself on the right side of the probability versus the wrong side of the probability, the more
you're gonna
I think,
come out better.
Yeah, you're gonna be where you want to. So I think definitely there's a lot of luck, and there's a lot of just stuff out of your control that happens that you can't really control. But I think there is also a lot of decision making, especially when you're young, and a lot of just like putting yourself in the position to succeed that is important as well.
And you know, I'm so glad you brought up that point, because I do see. You know, a lot, it's funny, I was listening to this on a podcast, and the guy was saying, you know those friends that just say, man, nothing's going my way, I just can't seem to get a win, but they never put themselves in the position to get a win. And sometimes you just look at them from the perspective of like, oh, come on. Like, you know, you have to set yourself up for victory if you want to get one, right? Or have something go your way. And I think that is you know, a part of it. But then at the same time, especially in a year like 2020, where so many people, and it makes me sad to think about it, so many people got the rug just pulled from underneath them. Like, you know, so many people, like, they did have a job. They did have the three-car garage, and everything was going great. But then they got laid off, and then they couldn't find anything because the world was going to shit. And, you know, they had kids, and they had bills to pay, and et cetera. And then they just find themselves in these positions. And I think this is the point I've been trying to come to, of that no one's as secure as they like to think they are. Everyone can get touched, you know? And what I mean by that is, as much as you might be the person on top today, you could be the person on the bottom tomorrow. It really is that easy to find yourself with the roles reversed. So there's no point in looking down on someone who happens to be in the quote-unquote bottom today. There's no need to do that.
100%. I think it's a challenging thing about living in the moment, right? Because I think you also, there has to be a lot of contingency planning for the future, which I think people forget about a lot. And you have to be ready for what's coming down the pipeline, because it could be anything. It could be anything, right? And what are you doing to prepare yourself now for what could happen 5, 3 years from now, 6 months from now, 1 month from now?
That is one thing that kind of scares me, honestly, about people our age, I want to say, of just how – just the immediate gratification and also the lack of self-preservation in a long-term sense. That people kind of practice. And I understand it, because it's fun to live in the moment. It's fun to kind of throw caution to the wind and enjoy no responsibilities no barriers kind of holding you back from doing things that you'd like to do. Like, that's enjoyable. But at the same time, when it all kind of comes crashing down or comes to a head, and then you sit back and say, man, how did I even get here? It's like, well, You know how you got here.
You followed the breadcrumbs, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you kind of look back at it. I don't know. It's just very interesting to see how success affects people on a lower level. I'm not talking about, you know, millionaires or anything like that. Just a little bit of success that puts them over the margin or puts them over the median, and how quickly, you know, individuals can kind of change their entire outlook as if, you know, they're the Messiah or anything.
Yeah, 100%.
It's weird.
That perception in the U.S. Oops, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that perception in the U.S. of if you put your mind to it, you can be successful. Yes, it's an interesting one.
That's so true. And that's a great point. If we could just touch on that for a second, why do you? I mean, the American dream is probably my answer of just this is the place of opportunity. If you fail, that's your fault. But it's like, in the world, not everybody can win. Literally, it's just, you not talk about probability. Not everybody can win. For people to win, there has to be losers. Plain and simple.
It's an incredible philosophical. For people to win, does there have to be losers?
Yes. Someone has to be on the bottom.
I don't know if that's the case.
Really? Why not?
I don't know if that's the case. Why do we believe that? Why do we think that just, I don't know, like, why do we think it's, like, natural to have poverty and wealth and to have better and least? I don't know why. It's an interesting, like, social construct that I have not been able to wrap my head around. I think people have almost
in the past 30 seconds.
People have almost naturalized the idea that there has to be the wealthy and the poor, and it's like this duality that has to exist, or the world is almost like thrown off kilter. And I don't want to interrupt you, just going to say, I think it's more likely just a scheme by the ultra wealthy, the powerful, and the ruling elite to keep themselves in power more than anything else. Like, I don't know. I can definitely see. I think there is a possibility for a world that's like that they don't necessarily have the type of inequality that we have now. But we're never going to get there, because the people in charge have no incentive to get us there. So it's like, why would you?
That's is the question. Is the question closing the gap more than we are today, or can there be no gap?
I think no gap is probably an impossibility, right?
That's my point. That's where I'm coming.
Yeah, I don't think a perfect world necessarily exists. Like, there's no Thomas More's like utopia just like floating out there. But
subtle flex by Alex right there.
I am literate.
A savant.
I was about to say illiterate, and then I was like, that is not the right term.
He flubbed it right.
that means can't read. Yeah, but
my man's is illiterate.
Oh, I'm an idiot. All right. Back to what we were saying, right? Like, I don't think there's a vacuum that we can live in where
I don't think so either.
But it's just so hard to think about. But like, in theory,
let's go back to what we had initially said of there always has to be people losing. You don't think that's the case?
Not to the extent that I think there's almost like the idea that capitalism is built off of, like you said, people have to lose in order for people to win, which I think is a problem with the system itself more than anything else. So it's like, how do we change that necessarily?
But there's so many the thing is, and I do blame some individuals that find themselves in negative situations, because sometimes people put themselves there. You know, fair enough. There's a percentage. But then also, there's also there's a lot of traps in life, I think.
Like, it's full of traps.
You know what I mean? And sometimes you see the things that people fall into, and it's like, like the deck was stacked against them. Like I can't really blame them for that. Yes, you could say, well, if they had done this, 2020 hindsight, you know, they wouldn't have fallen into that. But people aren't perfect. People are going to make mistakes, and I've made mistakes in my life that haven't cost me really much of anything. But then people in a different situation make one bad decision, and it's done.
Well, that's what I'm saying, bro. The deck has to be leveled, I think, and it's a matter of how do you do that? Because like you said, not everybody's starting from the same place on the Monopoly board at the moment. Some people have to cross gut. Well,
some people are born with Boardwalk already.
I mean, I guess really the most appropriate, I guess, analogy would be white people have got to go around the Monopoly board for the past 300 years, and basically,
I was gonna say 400.
If you're black in this country, you just got to start going around. You just got to start probably less than 100 years ago. I mean, when did 50 years ago? Whenever the hell Jim Crow ended.
That's great.
So if
blows my mind every time.
If you get a 250 lap head start, where the hell you think you're gonna be?
Yeah, where do you think you're gonna be?
And if you've done no work to like necessarily narrow that gap, you wonder why there's so many problems. And that's my thing. It's like, I don't think, like, that's not natural. Like, that shouldn't, I think people have
naturalized
it.
That's something that was made to be that way.
Yeah. Like, I feel like this idea that there's winners and losers is kind of BS, because when you get to cheat and go around the board 250 times, yeah. But is that fair? No.
But maybe you get into the discussion that when there's two groups of people, one is always going to try to put an advantage for themselves over the other. No one's ever going to, you know, say, okay, it's okay for us to be on the same level. It's just human nature to always want to be on top of someone else. Pause.
I agree. And I think that that's a problem, though. Like, I don't think that's right.
But that's human nature, though. So is that something that's not, that we
but
can
that's
even
not,
change?
I don't know if that is human. I think that's human nature.
I
don't think it's human nature for good people. It's probably human nature, but I think that's something you can tweak within yourself. I don't think if you think you're inherently better than somebody and that's within your nature, I don't think that's necessarily good.
I mean, fair enough.
I really want to know. Elaborate on that.
What I mean is, I mean, if you get like, and that's the thing. Yes. Okay. I'll say this. Let's say we hit the reset button on time.
Right.
Boom. And then all of a sudden there's 1 million black people, 1 million white people. Boom. And just in a big open space of earth. Despite the good intentions that may exist in either side, if I just drop those two just in the world with just at a starting point, right, there's no influence or anything, more or less I think we're going to work our way back to a similar type of construction of what we're in now. Not in terms of, you know, whites being on top necessarily, because that came from other forces being at play, but it's going to be one of those groups feeling like they have to assert dominance over the other one. I don't know. I feel like that's how it's always going to be. That's very nihilistic of me, but I'm just saying. I don't know.
You've mind effed me a little bit. I'm trying to think.
I don't know.
Because I don't know the answer to that question. It's a really good question, and then you wonder, but like. Is that what we're supposed to have, like, political leadership, though, for, in order to, like, ensure that that doesn't happen?
Political leadership. That's a contradictory in terms.
Am I off base, though? Because you have warring factions, and who's supposed to
be the mediator.
Who's supposed to have the clear eyes in these situations, right? And be able to make sure that doesn't happen.
But, and that's the thing. We've gotten to the point now, and it's like, I don't know. I feel like the game evolves, but it's always the same. You know, in that situation that I was saying of, you know, 1 million white, 1 million black, you know, maybe you
so can I pause you real quick? So do you think it'd be like Lord of the Flies? Is that what you're telling me? What it would devolve into?
I remember Lord of the Flies, so I can't say yes or no, but I think yes. I think that's kind of where we're heading. And that's the point of that book. You erase all, you know, constructs and you know, government bodies and leadership and authority. And then we kind of just end up slinging poop at each other. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. We're only evolved to a certain point. Like, I feel like we like to think that we're humans and we're super advanced and like we're amazing, which we are. Like, humans are pretty impressive. But at the same time, we just like with the amount of times that history has repeated itself with the same issues, the same problems, and in the same way, like, but slightly twisted and adjusted for time's sake. It just makes me feel that no matter what, somehow, some way, there's always going to be that idea of, you know, those people. And I think it's a difference. I think it's because of the difference between two people, you know, or a group of people that, oh, they're different from us. We're better than them. You know, I don't know. All right. So that's been the transition episode. No, I'm kidding.
I don't know what I want to argue. I want to argue that economic and political conditions are not inherently, should not inherently foster systems of inequality. But I think the ones we live in do. I don't know. I don't know if it's natural. I think kind of to go all the way back to ground zero.
Yeah.
I don't think it is what I would say, but I can definitely see where you're coming from. Like, I don't.
So you think we've been conditioned?
I 100% think we've been conditioned. Yeah.
I think
all this stuff is a social construct of.
I agree. But I don't know. At the same time,
like, what's real and what's not? It's really funny to think about. Yeah.
Pulls off mask. I'm a robot. But no, I mean, it's true. Like, at some point, if you go back through history, which is why it's important to study, there probably is some turning point of like, oh, well, this is kind of the impetus of it really starting to, you know, like, this is, if you follow the breadcrumbs, like we were saying earlier, you can see the sprinklings of boom, then this happened and the gap got farther, boom, this happened, and then people start to do this and think this. But at the end, what I'm saying is, if you start people back, we'll always find our way back here. I think no matter what. Somehow, some way, even if you stop one instance of splitting us and making us think that, you know, one person is better than the other. And okay, you know, oh, we stopped that event from happening. Butterfly effect is going to find a way to happen somehow. I think. I don't know.
I have no answer.
I mean, I don't necessarily have an answer either. I guess I'm kind of thinking out loud to a degree. We've talked about this for a while, though. So let's go on to the second topic of social relevance. No, I think it was good discussion. Are passions overrated? I'm going to let you take this one because I think you have a pretty interesting opinion. I think we came to the same opinion kind of during the end of our discussion yesterday. But are passions overrated? Yes or no?
I definitely think we came to the same decision. I think...
And should you follow them? That's also the follow-up.
And should you follow them? Yeah. There's no answer again, right? Like, no and
oh,
yes.
There's an answer. You're kind of right. Yeah, they're kind of.
Yeah, right? Because I think we teeter that gray line again. I think largely no is the answer. I think for most people it's no.
Are they overrated? No, they are not overrated.
As in, yes, they are overrated, and okay, no, you should not follow them.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Apologies for that. It's getting late. It's 10 o'clock, right?
It has passed 10 now.
I would say the most important thing is you shouldn't necessarily predicate your career on what your passions are more than anything else. I think you should follow your passions. I don't think that should necessarily be the what you're banking on as far as what you're gonna be doing for the rest of your life. And I think it's a misconception that gets put into a lot of people's heads, especially when they're younger. Yeah, I don't know. Follow your dreams is.
It's you can those, if your dream is to be an accountant.
Yeah, I mean, right?
It's, or something it's a little bit, you know, reasonable.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like, I don't know. Going into college, I don't think following, like, a lot of us, I guess, were told to, like, follow your dreams, follow your passions. But is that necessarily the thing that makes the most sense for you? Probably not. Probably not.
Probably not when you're going to find yourself in, you know, six figures of debt coming out.
Well, like
whatever.
We were talking about, right? The people that largely tell you to follow your passions are people that already made it. So it's like, what is that?
I'm an old tycoon. Follow your passions.
It's largely in stuff that they're probably not passionate about. Like, if you're a billionaire selling software, it's like, I'm sure you're not necessarily passionate about that, but you found something you're really
passionate
good at
about
it.
This bread, though.
I was going to say, you're passionate about something else.
Yeah,
So no, I think it's an interesting topic in that I think when you're younger, I think that's just a narrative and an idea that gets circulated all the time.
It's nice, you know? Kids have dreams, and you want to foster that. You don't want to break their hearts early, so you break it later, right?
I think it's almost, yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it would almost be better if we didn't end up having like that kind of
narrative. Oh, you're
going to
be quite a father, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going
to
be
Alex Jr., don't follow your dreams.
Well, they're going to know.
You're not going to make it to the league, I'll tell
you
right now.
Do something that makes sense. It's all about what we were talking about earlier.
Probability.
Life is not, life is in a lot of ways, and this is so boring and so like, I don't know.
No, go ahead. I'm interested in what you're about to say.
Vanilla of me to say, but it's like a lot about risk management in a lot of ways. Like what can I, what can I do to ensure that I'm likely going to be good 10 years, 5 months, 6 years, 10 years down the road from now? And what decisions are going to necessarily get there? And what's going to put me in the best position in order to achieve what I want to achieve on that front? And that's not necessarily about, I don't know, following what you're passionate about. Like, I love basketball. I wanted to be a sports journalist for a while. Did that make sense? No way in hell. I don't know. Like, if I wanted to make $5 an hour writing for my local high school paper, yeah, maybe that would have been dope. I probably would have enjoyed it. But would that have put me in the position that I necessarily wanted to be in? Probably not. And then this goes back to the entire original conversation that we were talking about, is what's really important. Should that really matter to me? And that might be a flaw on my part that I need to work out. But that is a discussion for another day.
But I mean, and that's the thing. Oh, man, this is scary, because I think everything that we've talked about in like the past 5 episodes is kind of intertwined, like in this discussion of money. Why does it matter? Why are you putting yourself above that person who's making $5 an hour, at that given job? Why do you think you're better than them? And now coming full circle, well, what was the path to get them there? Should they have followed their passion, or should they have been a little bit more, prudent and been had a greater foresight and all this other stuff? I don't know. It's all kind of coming together in a way. But at the same time, on a life lesson type of level, well, if someone chased their passion and it didn't work out for them, but they at least chased that dream, are they more fulfilled than the person who didn't chase their passion but, you know, had a more stable life? You know, who's kind of living better at the
Great
end?
Great question. I don't know. And the other thing I would say is passions can be hidden in what you do as well, which I think is really
interesting. I agree with
that. Like in my job, like I love talking to people. I love interacting with people. I love all that kind of like social
You find those breadcrumbs or those pieces of in what you're doing.
Exactly, right? And if you would have told me like, is being an insurance broker your passion? I would say not necessarily, but do I like a lot of elements of my job and a lot of the people that are in it? Yeah, I do, which I think is important. So in anything that you choose to do, I think there's definitely different elements that you can follow your passions within. It's just a matter of keeping an open enough mind to like look at it that way and see that, I don't know, your job is
everything you want.
Yeah, there's a little more depth to what you do than what's just on the surface level, right? And you do have to make some sacrifices about what you necessarily want.
Exactly.
If you want to get to where you want to be.
And that's my point. I was going to say, I think, do you think to a degree of, I think in your case, it makes sense from what you were saying. But yeah, let's say someone who, has this job and it's a little bit harder for them to kind of see the breadcrumbs and what they're doing. And it's not really as close or aligned to their passions or what they truly would like to be doing. There's more of a big gap between the two as compared to what you were just saying. Would you say that them, thinking in the way you're thinking and trying to find almost like a silver lining is almost like a consolation prize?
Right. What do you mean by consolation prize?
Of, hey, life dealt you this, make the best of it.
Well, this gets back to what we were talking about before, right? Like, some people aren't dealt, like, the hand you're dealt just
exactly.
is like...
Exactly. Exactly my point.
It's like, it's so hard, man, because, yeah.
This is why I'm saying everyone can't win.
No, because the hand you're dealt predicates, like, I've been super fortunate, and the hand I've been dealt, I've been very lucky to have. So it's like, for both of us, it took a lot of it wasn't just like a free for all going in the right direction. It took a lot of work on our end too. But we, at least, I'm gonna speak for myself. But yeah,
I was gonna say myself, you speak for yourself.
I don't know.
It did take work, but at the same time, I don't know. When I think of the work I put in to compare to the work other people put in and don't get to my certain position, they're kind of just like,
other people put in a lot of work for sure. And it's not to diminish anybody else.
No,
but yeah, I don't know. It still took a lot of like work on my end. Like, I definitely got a head start, which I'm super, super fortunate for. But It wasn't necessarily easy.
This is and this goes into something, and then we'll end the podcast on this. I think this is all very theory that we're talking about here. I don't think we're gonna find any concrete conclusions. Do you think how do you rationalize the good fortune you've had in your life in terms of deserving it or not deserving
Great
it?
Great question. I don't necessarily deserve it, right?
Alex wasted. You know exactly where I was going with that one before I even finished my sentence.
I
think about that a lot, actually. I think about that all the time.
Yeah,
why am I here and why they're there? You know, that type of stuff. Similar to what I was talking about
it's
before.
It's all luck, man. It's what you said. I don't know. We can't control. At least I can't control necessarily the hand that you're dealt. But I think if you are dealt a certain hand,
you have a responsibility to do your best.
Yes. Yeah. Fair. To yourself and to others. Yeah, I don't know. If you're put in a certain position, I feel like you should feel obligated to yourself to not F up, but to also like help. I don't know.
Help
like,
the others who might not have been.
How do you do that in a meaningful way, though?
I think you give back. Like you don't only think about self-preservation. You only think about your own advancement. Like if we're talking about career sense, like, hey, I know, you know, let's say just quick scenario. I came from a bad area or a bad neighborhood.
Yeah.
And then now I live in a good neighborhood. Now I went to school and now I have all these opportunities. Well, I know there's some kid who's stuck in that neighborhood that didn't get the opportunity to get out.
Yeah.
Let me go back. Let me talk to them. Let me give them some of the game that I've learned. Because also it is a very connection-based world. I mean, I think about this all the time, of that the people who, you know, lead X, Y, and Z business or X, Y, and Z industry aren't that much smarter than you or me. They're just, you know, it's kind of specializing in the right place and doing the right thing. So it's, and then that kind of goes back to it's all about opportunity. But I will say this, and I think this is a Stephen A. Smith kind of talks about this a lot of, I think, you know, the people who are able to swallow the hard pills of life first end up being the most successful, I think. If you had to kind of play the law of averages, you know, if you have an 8-year-old with an Alex Kaprinsky mindset of, you know, I gotta risk manage, I gotta be a little bit more calculated, I gotta understand that I'm not gonna be LeBron James or whatever, and you kind of let those dreams die earlier, you know, you probably are gonna in the end end up to be more successful than the person who's saying, you know, no, like I'm not gonna take that, I'm gonna try and be. You know, a little bit more of a rebel, I guess, or a cavalier.
Good on them, though, man. Like you said, there's nothing.
At the same time, I do agree with that, right?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a matter of opinion and what you want to do. Like, there's nothing wrong with either mm-hmm. way you look at it necessarily. It's just a choice that you decide to make. It's neither good nor bad.
And I think that's where you start to go bad, is when you say, oh, well, why wouldn't you do that if it makes the most sense, you know, mathematically or logically?
Yeah.
Because you don't always have to live your life in a completely logical and,
no, you
and,
do not.
You know, cut and dry fashion. Like, you know, there's, in a way, life has forced you to conform if you are doing that, which is a loss, I think, on your part to a degree. I think.
Yeah, I'm bending. Opinion,
you are bending the knee.
Yeah.
But we all bend the knee. The question is, how much do you bend, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely. Another really interesting thing to think about. They
Shout
could
out
probably
Game of
have
Thrones.
A, yeah, they could probably have an hour's worth of discussion.
I was
going to
say,
it.
Maybe but that's next episode. Ooh, that definitely could be next episode. All right. We're calling it there?
I think we're calling it, man.
I think we're calling it.
I feel very grateful. That's how I've ended this podcast.
Right. Exactly. That's been The Transition, episode 45. Hope you liked it. Make sure you guys listen to that. To listen to the few projects we talked about in the first half of the show, and think pretty deeply on some of the things that we talked about in the second half. You know, hopefully it makes you a little thought provoking, a little food for thought to lead you into the rest of your week. Because obviously this is going to go up on like a Tuesday. but without any more ado,
I got nothing.
Peace.
Go make yourself some eggs.
go make yourself some eggs like Alex is about to. Oh, also, make sure you listen to The Transition, or listen to this transition. Make sure you follow The Transition _pod to see Nick Kaprinsky go off in our comment section.
Check out his trash comments.
Check out his trash comments, all the other things he says. Make sure to check out his Apple Music playlist. We'll catch you in the next episode. Peace.